Good to see you today. Good morning. And welcome to our service today. I want to really say congratulations to our new members. Usually I come up and shake their hand, but they told me, no, you need to be backstage. So I wasn't able to do that, but I do want to congratulate our new members today. Well, tomorrow, of course, is the 4th of July, and that makes 246 years since we declared independence from Great Britain. It's important to celebrate our freedom, to review its meaning, so we never forget the value, the cost of freedom. If we forget it, we can easily get conned into giving up our freedom. People come here from communist countries, socialist countries, and they say, you don't know what you have here in this country. We can get conned into giving up our freedom if we forget it. But the same is true of a Jesus follower. No matter what your situation, even if you're living in an oppressive situation, under a totalitarian regime, even if you're a prisoner being tortured for your faith in Christ, you are free. Every Jesus follower is free. We have freedom like no one else has freedom. But we can't forget our freedom, because if we forget it, we can end up giving it up by neglecting it. You see, no one can take your freedom in Christ from you. No one can take it. But you can take it from yourself by forgetting it and neglecting it. Back during World War I, there was a French soldier named Louis Delcourt, and he deserted his army, the French army. He ran away to his mother's house to be protected. He hid in her attic, and she took care of him. For 21 years, she hid him and cared for him. But in August of 1937, she died. And now Louis had no one to hide him, no one to take care of him. And so Louis staggered to the nearest police station, pale, haggard, to turn himself in to the police. But when he got there and presented himself, the officer looked at him in astonishment. He said, "Where have you been all this time? Didn't you know that amnesty had been declared for all deserters ages ago?" Louis had freedom all those years, but he didn't know it. He didn't enjoy it. Instead, he lived as a prisoner, even though he was free. You say, what a loser. What a loser. Yeah, Louis was a big loser. But so many of us Jesus followers do the same with our freedom. You see, Jesus purchased your freedom. He did so when he died on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sins so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be redeemed. He rose again, so that whoever trusts in him, whoever repents, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And such a person is free. Free. And yet, you may not be living your freedom. Do you feel trapped? Do you feel weighed down? Do you feel defeated or discouraged? Or maybe you see the state of our nation and there's so much division, so much hatred. And you feel that our freedom is eroding. Well, if you're in that situation today, I want to commend to you this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. It's our verse for today. We are going to take this message time to look at this verse in detail. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, and help me out when we come to the yellow print. The Apostle Peter says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil." Help me. "Live as God's slaves." The Apostle Peter is writing to Jesus' followers who are being bullied for their faith, for their commitment to Jesus. At the beginning of this letter, he tells us who he's writing to. He's writing to Christians in this area. This is the western part of what today we call Turkey. Back then it was Asia Minor. And these are Roman provinces: Asia, Bithynia, Pontus, Cappadocia, Galatia. And he's writing to the Christians in all of these areas. Areas where they were being harassed. The Jesus followers were being harassed for their Christianity. And in days to come, things were going to get even worse for them. They would be turned in by their neighbors, their non-Christian neighbors, turned over to the authorities. And if they would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ, they would be put to death. These days were coming, and what they were experiencing now was just the beginning of the terrible persecution to come. And so Christians in these areas might not really consider themselves to be really free. He says, "You are free people. Live free." They might say, "Us? Free?" But Peter tells them to live as free people. How? You see, you don't have to live in the United States of America to be free. You can be free no matter where you live. In fact, you can be more free as a believer in Jesus Christ than somebody here in the United States of America who doesn't realize his or her freedom. Today, we're looking at three lessons on living your liberty. And I invite you to take notes in your outline and fill in the blanks as we go along and as we step by step look at this passage in 1 Peter. Three lessons on living your liberty. Number one is practice your liberty. You know, if you're going to get good at anything, you have to practice. You might have talent coming out of your ears as a musician or maybe a singer or as an athlete. But if you don't practice, you're not going to be good at what you do. Well, freedom also has to be practiced. It has to be claimed. It has to be lived. Live as free people, says the Apostle Peter to these people who are already free. Having freedom, you see, is not enough. Louis Delcourt had it, but he was not free. Even knowing is not enough. You have to practice your freedom in Christ. Doctors practice medicine. Lawyers practice law. Christians practice freedom. But how? Well, I want to show you three bondages you have been liberated from. They're there on your outline. This is under point number one. A, the first bondage you have been liberated from is ignorance. Peter says in your BC days before Christ, he says in 1 Peter 1:14, you lived, past tense, you lived in ignorance. You didn't know all the awesome truths of the Bible that you know now. You didn't know that Jesus is Lord, but you know it now. You didn't know that he loves you with a love that passes understanding. You didn't know about his death for your sins or understand it, the great significance of it, and his resurrection. But even if you were raised in a church and knew about those things, you knew them intellectually, the worst part of your ignorance was that you didn't know Jesus personally. You didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You hadn't experienced him. Maybe you heard of his love, but you didn't know his love in an experiential way. But when you surrendered your life to Jesus, he came into your life and he freed you from your ignorance. And now, as a Jesus follower, you know him. You experience him personally. He's not just a figure of history who lived a long time ago that you could learn about by reading a history book. He's a living reality in your life. And so you have been saved. You have been liberated from ignorance. That is your birthright, is the truth, the knowledge of Christ in your life. There's a second bondage you were liberated from. B on your outline is emptiness. Peter says of you as a Jesus follower, 1 Peter 1:18, you were redeemed from an empty way of life. Life without Christ, it's emptiness. Life is like an elevator ride. How so? Well, in an elevator, you're either heading up or down, right? Well, the same is true in life. You're either heading up to be with the Lord, or you're heading down to be apart from him for all eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. And it may seem like it's a long ride on this elevator, but even if you live to be 100, even if you live to be 110 or more, just think about it. 100 trillion years from now, you will look back at that 100 years and it'll seem like a nanosecond, like nothing. It's nothing compared to eternity. But for people without Christ, they're only living for the elevator ride, for the up, for the down. They don't see it beyond it. And so they spend all their time and their energy and their money accumulating things, the kingdom of kingdom. They want to make that elevator as comfortable as they can. They move their furniture into it. They bring the, well, I got to have my lazy boy chair and my big screen TV in the elevator. Because they want to enjoy the elevator ride. That's what it's all about, is enjoying the ride. So they can live it up all the way to the end of their ride. That's not only ignorance. That's emptiness. But the Jesus follower has been freed from emptiness. We know our destination. And so if the elevator ride happens to be uncomfortable, maybe I'm standing next to somebody who has bad BO. Or maybe there's a screaming little kid in the elevator, screaming his head off. Oh, is that annoying? Or maybe there's a real rude person in the elevator. Well, I know my destination. I know this is just temporary, and so it isn't as bad. And besides all of that, I've got Jesus with me on that elevator ride. He comforts me. He strengthens me. He speaks to me. He leads me. And guess what? On that elevator ride, I get to share the love of Christ with other people. If there's somebody on the elevator who doesn't know the Lord, I get to tell them about Jesus. I get to show Jesus' love to that person. Maybe lead that person to Christ. I have Jesus with me on the elevator. I also have my church family with me on the elevator. And so it's not so bad. In fact, I can enjoy that elevator ride more than anybody else, even if I'm in a discomforted way there, because I don't have emptiness. I have fullness. I have joy. I have Jesus. The third bondage we've been liberated from as Jesus followers is darkness. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, God called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When I was a kid, our crawl space basement was a scary place. We'd tell spooky stories in there. It was creepy. It wasn't what you might think of a crawl space as, like a dirt floor and maybe yay high or something that you really have to crawl. No, this was like a basement with a real low ceiling. And so it was under the house, but it was dark in there with the lights off. And nobody ever went in there of us kids with the lights off. Just didn't do that. It was scary. We were sure the place was haunted. We used to tell spooky stories about it. Well, one day, my older brother tricked me into getting myself into a hamper. We had this old hamper in there, and the lid was broken off, but so you had to set it on top. And I don't know what he did to coax me into getting in there, so I squeezed myself and got down into this hamper. Then he put the lid on it, and he put something heavy on top of it. And then he dashed out of the crawl space, and he turned off the lights. And here I am in the crawl space, and I'm in a hamper, and I'm squished in there. And then I pushed off the lid, and the heavy thing on top of it banged on my head. And I'm trying to get out, and my head is hurting, and I'm dazed, and I'm thinking, oh no, all the creepy goblins and ghosts are going to grab me. And so I start running out, and I can't find my way because it's pitch black. And I finally turned a corner, and I could see the door. I could see the door because, fortunately, our crawl space had a door that was made of pegboard. You know what pegboard is? It's got all these little holes in it, right? And I could see the light streaming through those holes. And so I scurried my way to that doorway and banged through it. It was like it was calling to me. It's like I could feel the witches and the ghosts and the goblins grabbing the back of my... I had to get out of there. Oh. Well, in the Bible, darkness. Darkness stands for evil, ignorance, emptiness, fear, bondage. Our sins, that's the darkness that we lived in. Pride, that's darkness. Lust, envy, hatred, sexual immorality, pornography, drunkenness, addiction to substances, brokenness, suicidal thoughts, suicidal behavior, or get this, just empty, self-righteous religion. That's darkness. You may have a clean life by all appearances, but your life is empty because you're in darkness. You're alienated from God. You can have self-righteous secularism. You think you're doing everything politically correct, but it's empty. It's darkness. Because all of these things, all of these darknesses come from the darkness of alienation from God. That's the darkness that Christ freed us from, and he's called us out of that darkness into his wonderful light. In Christ, you are free. But we have to practice our freedom, or we'll slip back into bondage. At the cross is the light streaming through into the darkness. Liberation, forgiveness, wholeness. Live it. Look at the second lesson on living your liberty. Number two on your outline. Don't confuse liberty with license. You know, when a team wins the Super Bowl or the World Series, the fans go bonkers, right? They go out maybe into the streets and have a party, celebration, fireworks. And we haven't seen that in a while here in Detroit, have we? It's been a while. I remember when the Pistons were real good and they won, and the Red Wings were really good. Even the Tigers had their bright moments. The Lions, well, never in my lifetime. Never in my lifetime. But as we all know, some fans, when they're celebrating, they take the opportunity to turn it into a time of looting and destroying. They use the celebration as a pretext, an excuse for doing evil, a good thing into a bad thing. And we can do the same thing with our freedom in Christ. Peter says in that verse we're looking at, verse 16, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. If I say, hey, Jesus forgives me of all my sins, and if I confess my sin, he forgives me. That's the way it works. Hey, I like this arrangement. He likes to forgive. I like to sin. What a great arrangement. So I can look at all the porn I want, as long as I ask forgiveness. I can nurse a grudge all I want. I can have fantasies about hating that person and seeing that person go down and get what he deserves. I'll just ask forgiveness. I can lie to my boss. Just ask forgiveness. But you see, if I do that, I'm using my freedom as a cover-up for evil. And guess what? I'm only putting myself back into bondage. Jesus taught us that all sin brings bondage. Did you hear that? All sin brings bondage. He said, look at it, John 8:34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Suppose I say, I've got some poison ivy in my backyard. It's my backyard. It's my poison ivy. I can do with it as I please. I can handle it all I want. It's mine. I'm free. I can scrub my face with it. I can roll around in it. I can sleep in it if I want. It's mine. Well, my so-called freedom enslaves me to a world of hurt. Well, that's what it's like when a Christian dives into sin. Sin is spiritual poison ivy. It's never good. Never. So don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. It only brings you back into bondage. The third lesson on living your liberty is our main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else. And that is, practice your freedom by serving as God's slave. Can slavery ever be a good thing? Slavery is always bad, isn't it? We abolished slavery in this country, yet we still feel the evil effects of it to this day. We fought the Civil War over slavery. You know that the Civil War cost us 620,000 lives to abolish slavery. Worldwide slavery has brought heartache to countless millions of people, billions of people. And today we need to continue fighting against slavery in all its wicked forms. Human trafficking, for example, is a form of slavery. Kidnapping young girls, turning them into sex slaves. That's slavery. But there are other kinds of slavery as well. Addictions to alcohol or substances. Those are forms of slavery as well. You can be addicted to anger. Anger gets you what you want. You yell at people and they tremble in fear and you become addicted to that. Or codependency, it puts you in horrible bondage. Slavery is not God's desire for you. Freedom is God's desire for you. But there is one exception to the rule that slavery is evil, and that is being God's slave. That is good. Peter says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. It's paradoxical, isn't it? You only find freedom by becoming God's slave. How so? Well, it's because God is your creator, you see. And he made you, he created you to only be able to find satisfaction and run properly on him. It's like a car runs on gas, or at least most cars do run on gas. Well, a human being was designed to run on God. And so if you try to run on something other than him, you're not going to run properly. You're going to sputter. You're going to stall out. If you're feeling empty or lost or defeated or guilty, maybe you need to change your filling station. What have you been running your life on? What fuel is in your tank? Do you need to empty your tank and fill up with Christ? You only run right on Jesus. Fill up on him. You think gas is expensive, right? Today? Well, consider what it costs God to fill you up with Jesus. He says, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value." Help me. "It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." The world will tell you that serving Christ is restrictive. It's narrow. It's a killjoy. But it's just the opposite. Serving Christ is freedom. It's liberation. You can do now what you were created to do. Being God's slave, it all comes down to those two commandments: loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what serving him is all about. If you've repented of your sin and trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's called you out of darkness, out of an empty life, out of ignorance, into his wonderful life, into his light. You're now his slave. And he invites you to remember him with this table, with these elements that we're about to partake in now. I'm going to ask the elders to assist. This bread represents his broken body. The cup represents his blood that was poured out for our sins. By partaking of this, you are declaring that he is your master, that you are free. And so, if you haven't turned yourself over to him to be his slave, then don't partake. If you haven't been obeying him as your master and you haven't repented of your sin, don't partake, because you don't want to make a statement about yourself that isn't true. Better yet, repent. Repent, and then you can freely partake. So let's take a moment or two now to reflect and confess our sins to the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for freedom in Christ. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. You give it to us as a sheer act of grace, undeserved favor and kindness. I pray, Father, that true repentance would be found in our hearts, and we would reject any rebellious thought that we have had against you, any hatred, any covetousness, any lust, any grudge that we're holding against somebody. Lord, that we would confess our envy, our jealousy. We would repent and resurrender ourselves to the Master, to the one who gave his life for us. so that we could be set free to be a part of this church family, serving together. Bless this bread and this juice as we partake of it. We do so in remembrance of the one who died for us and rose from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.